Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, here we go on a Monday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Following a Chiefs loss heading into the bye week, 5-4, 28-21, of course, the final. Buffalo gets to 6-2, a massive tiebreaker as well. If it comes down to it in terms of seeding, it may or may not matter. We'll see. We'll talk about playoff implications, divisional implications, and all that coming up at 11 o'clock today. You guys can always interact with us, 913-586-7965, and maybe even during the Chiefs Red half hour, we'll take some phone calls. We don't normally do it, but anytime there's what I would consider a very significant shift in a Kansas City Chiefs football season, we like to hear from you guys on not just the text line, but also the phone. So maybe we'll get to that a little bit later on, but 913-586-7965. Video stream up and running. Facebook, YouTube, Twitch. You can interact there. Cody keeps an eye on the chat there. Typically, I've got the text line opened up. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any of the shows here on 96.5 The Fan. So the Chiefs put together, I would say it's fair, their worst game in well over a month.
Oh, it was definitely their D
well
effort.
Well over a month. And it was sometimes simple. Like sometimes when you go through and you think about results of a game and you're like, you try to figure out what went wrong. But this one is pretty simple. I don't think we have to overcomplicate it.
Nope. I can start with the biggest problems.
You can have your offensive line with their worst game of the season.
Yep.
You can have your defensive line. The issues we knew existed got exposed because you faced the second best quarterback in football in Josh Allen and one of the top three running backs in football. And to their credit, they got the Chiefs for the first time. Any back did. And then Patrick Mahomes, some of it is because of the O-line. The other part is he just wasn't right. Play calling was a mess, etc. He had his worst game of not just the season, but we know completion wise. It's weird because he's thrown more picks, but yeah, career. Absolutely.
It's
50, fewer than 50% of his passes.
Lowest completions in a game, lowest completion percentage in a game. And yeah, at no point did he look comfortable. Did the team look comfortable or did they look like they had any control? It's borderline a minor miracle that they even had a chance to win it. And I still think McDermott should have punted at the end there. And
right.
I'm not really
right.
sure why he opened up the possibility of that missed field goal leading to the Chiefs put the ball in the end zone. It touched Tyquan Thornton's hands. Like, they had a chance in a game in which they had no business having a chance. And so that part leads away. Look, this is pretty simple. They got their ass kicked on the offensive line and got their ass kicked on the defensive line. They lost the game in the trenches and lost the game immediately because of that. And yes, Patrick Mahomes did have his worst game of the year and of maybe his career. I don't want to go through every single marker right now, but it's probably pretty close. And because of that, they did not look good against the Bills. I'd say the Bills gave their B plus effort. Chiefs gave their D version of a game.
I thought the first half, maybe not the whole game. The first half I thought for Buffalo, that was their best half of football of the season.
Yeah, I agree.
And the second half, obviously the fact that the Chiefs still had a chance late, I can't say it was the best second half for the Bills, but in the first half, and that includes Carolina the week before, I thought the Bills had their best half of football, and you kind of wondered, would you get their A game? And defensively, yeah. you certainly did. It's one of those games. Someone was asking me, like, how mad am I? I was way angrier after the Jags game. I'll be honest. I really was. Like, we're going to get to the implications. They are massive, and it makes the road ahead extremely challenging for Kansas City divisionally. And they are currently out of the playoff field. Both those things are very, very true. And am I more concerned about the path than ever? Yes. I'm not as angry, though, after this one as I was the Jags game. Because the Jags game, they outplayed their opponent, and they should have won. The Chiefs got dominated and outplayed in this game. So I'm less angry, if that makes sense. Because
yes.
they had no business winning this game. The fact that they had a chance late is kind of crazy.
I'm not going to boil it down to as simple as this for the reason why I'm not as worried, Gold, as what you're talking about, which is a road loss to the Bills is not a thing that sends me into a frenzy. The way that they lost certainly highlights some serious issues that they have, and I'm not going to, like, pretend like they don't exist. And we talked a little bit going into the game, like, hey, we know what their problems are. Is this going to get exposed? And to your point of the way Mahomes plays, I tweeted out something, and I don't think I phrased it well online as maybe, hopefully I can in, like, longer form in explaining it. We have now all watched, and I don't think it's just me, Gold, you, the entire audience. We have all watched enough Chiefs games now. Do you know exactly what I'm talking about when I say, when Mahomes starts playing like this, you know the team is in trouble. When it starts looking like he's triple spinning, jumping over the back of some guy, whipping it 40 yards across the field, and sometimes it works, and they get themselves in the game, and they convert a 4th-and-17, and sometimes it all comes together. But when the game starts looking like that for Mahomes, you know they're screwed. It's how he's played in every Super Bowl in which they've gotten their ass kicked.
Like hero ball stuff.
Yes, yeah. You can tell. When they start operating way outside their system, and it just looks like Mahomes is trying to do literally anything to will a team to victory, whether it works or doesn't, that's when you know they're in trouble. And that started to look that way really early in that Bills game. Like second quarter, third quarter.
You know, when
that
also happens,
yeah.
when that happens, it usually means he's drifting to either left tackle side or right tackle side. And it's because the offensive line is breaking down. I'm not excusing his performance. He was not good yesterday, plain and simple. But what you're describing and how you even reference the Super Bowls, what has also happened in those games? It usually is coincided with poor offensive line play. And so it was a perfect storm yesterday. I mean, give the Bills a ton of credit. Their defense out of nowhere put together their best game of the season. They deserve credit for that. They were down multiple weapons, and the Bills seemingly out of nowhere were capable. Cole Bishop, I've never heard of the guy in my life. Anybody, be honest, anybody ever heard of Cole Bishop? No. And that kid, who I guess, Drew, we were in our group chat, you said he played at Utah or whatever in college. Like, that kid went out there and was a difference maker the entire game. He was awesome in that game. Never heard of him before.
Nope, and so he was stopping everything.
So give him and the Bills credit, but the Chiefs were abysmal on the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. We're going to get to what I think yesterday showed as well, looking ahead to tomorrow on the trade deadline. But Patrick Mahomes, if you just want to know how ugly it was, so he's played in 142 NFL games. And as you guys know, the stat by now is the first time he completed less than 50% of his passes. Mahomes' last game in his entire football career, last game completing fewer than 50 passes, he was a backup in college at Texas Tech against TCU in 2014. He went 5-for-11 in an 82-27 loss. Yeah, yeah.
They gave him 82?
He was the backup, so he got in.
My God.
44.1% completion percentage. The lowest for any Chiefs quarterback under Andy Reid. The last quarterback to come close to that or worse than that was Brady Quinn when he was 7-for-16, 43.8% completions, week 17 of the 2012 season.
Honestly, shocking. When you put all that together and you're like, wait, they had a chance still? In Patrick Mahomes' worst game of his entire career? Look, some of this is fairly obvious things that I think that we had been warning against. I understood, and we said on this show, I know for a fact, we had said, I understand that you don't think Simmons being gone right now matters because the team is playing well and the line is playing well, so you don't want to talk about it. And at that time, I very specifically remember arguing with people, I believe, about the fact that you feel that way now because the line is playing well and because they have no injuries. Yesterday, some of the line play can be explained away fairly easily. They were at one point on three backup offensive linemen, although Kingsley was out for just a short period of time.
One play, I think.
Yeah. But they were out. They were on three backup offensive linemen, on a backup left tackle, which they still are until we know any more about Simmons, which we don't at the moment, about the exact date in which he will return. And Juwan Taylor was having his worst game of the season by far. So he was getting absolutely
worse. Wow, the Chargers game was worse, I would say.
Yeah, fine.
This was the worst
just
game since
bad.
Just worst game since week one. We were just praising him last week because he has played his best football for a month, and then and then they got him. I'll give Joe, again, give Joey Bosa credit.
Obviously,
we're in Kansas City, so it's all the Chiefs' fault. But I'll give Buffalo credit for some of the things they did. I thought defensively the Bills were going to get exposed. I think we all did. And they certainly did not. They had a great game plan. The Chiefs also did not play well to begin with. I think there was questionable play calling that led, you know, some of it was a product of the offensive line play. We'll get to the end of decision making as well. You and I differ on that. We'll get to that in 20 minutes. I see people texting in asking about that. I promise you. Everything that's on your mind, we will get to throughout the show today. But yesterday was one of those that has major ramifications, right, and repercussions just because of the not only issue that got exposed again, but the real standings in the AFC type of issue as well. I think yesterday's game should serve, though, as kind of a barometer if you're Brett Veach and you're saying, all right, what do we actually have to try to do in season? Clearly, you have to go and look for some defensive line help. We knew that before. But if you thought, oh, you know what? Maybe it's not as bad as I thought. No, that's against an AFC opponent, Buffalo, who is likely going to be there at the end. And if you hope to be there as well and hope the result to be different the next go around, sure, the offensive line might have Josh Simmons back. But the defensive line isn't just going to magically get better. Like, hey, Steve Spagnuolo, you know, we love praising what he's able to do and adjustments and all that. I still have plenty of faith in him. However, at some point, you don't have the personnel on the defensive line.
Correct.
Chris Jones is at a point in his career, a guy that's going to be a future Hall of Famer, okay? Someone that I think most people in this town wanted to get the extension. So it'd be very revisionist history for people to suddenly act like they didn't want
it. They shouldn't have paid him.
But next year, cap hit is a disaster for this team with Chris Jones. But he's at a point where he can't just take over a game anymore. There were numerous years, in fact, just about every year throughout his career, where you could have deficiencies on your defensive line. And Chris Jones, when the biggest moment came,
would mask him.
He would step up and he would mask the problem. He's not at that point anymore. And yeah, he's getting double teamed and he's frustrated and all that is true. And other guys have to step up. There are no other guys. It's Karlaftis and Chris Jones on the line. Karlaftis, the first drive or two of the game, looked decent. After that, they were able to really shut him down. No pass rush. So when you look at tomorrow's trade deadline, look, Jalen Phillips already got traded to Philadelphia. That's who I would have loved to get traded. Since week five, he's got the highest pressure rate of any defensive end in football. Sure would have been nice to pull off a trade like that. I don't know how interested the Chiefs were, what the deal was.
Would they wanted to give up a third round pick?
Who knows, right? So it's very easy to say, oh, how dare they not make the trade. Someone I would have been interested in, but if you were wondering still somehow in that front office, could you make this defensive line still work? No, you're not good enough on the defensive line, plain and simple. They have to go out and try to do something. I just don't know how big of an impact you're going to get from whoever you trade for.
So I'll talk about the trade stuff first. And then, yeah, let's look at Chris Jones' number because we've mentioned it on the show before, but it is it bears repeating based on the level of performance we're getting at him. Every single defensive line snap looks exactly the same. Chris Jones is 12 feet away from the quarterback being stood up on a double team. And every other defensive lineman needs roughly 4 to 5 seconds to get the sack. For instance, Leo Chanel got a big sack to get him the ball back. I mean, he was dancing around for 7 seconds before they got it. It's not like he got there fast. It was like one snap where I felt like they got quick pressure and got the sack. And that was Chris Jones, admittedly, on one of the reps in which he got it. But yeah, I mean, look at the defensive line and tell me where it works. They got Charles Omenihu, who's no-showed the first half of the season. Ashton Gelati, who's a rookie. I'm not saying his career won't lead to him getting more pressure. Karlaftis, who I think is a better than league average pass rusher. But that's your best pass
rusher
right now.
He's not a guy that's taken over again.
No. That's your best pass rusher right now. And that's the problem, is that Chris Jones has been completely eliminated and nobody else even worth mentioning really in this conversation. And so if you're down to just that, I don't know how you can justify looking at your roster and saying, we're not making a trade. Other teams are doing it. Eagles do nothing but draft defensive linemen, and even they're willing to go after a guy like Jalen Phillips. Look, if you'd asked me, today, would I give up the Chiefs third round pick for Jalen Phillips? The answer is yes. Now, tough timing because I just had to watch them. I mean, how many incompletions did Josh Allen throw? Three? Four? Maybe a handful? And so,
yeah, they didn't have to go down the field. It was all chunk plays, wide open. You know, we'll get to the linebackers,
7, 8, 9 yards at a time.
Tight ends, which has been a bugaboo for the Chiefs for years, and the Buffalo Bills exposed that in a massive way. Get their tight ends in space and ask the Chiefs linebackers to be in coverage and test either the communication or obviously the athletic ability in coverage. And Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox absolutely cooked them.
I'll say, like, and I saw someone's like, I'm tired of hearing about George. Dude has been getting one-on-ones his entire career and still can't get to the quarterback. Here's the difference. I think what it is you want George Karlaftis to be Max Crosby, to be Bosa. And that's not who he is. If you accept that he is a slightly better than league average pass rusher who's currently on pace for 9.5 for 10 sacks, well, then you don't get frustrated with George Karlaftis. And their bigger issues are that they, like most teams, are having a hard time finding an elite-level pass rusher. No, they don't have Myles Garrett or any of the other guys that do it at that rate. And look, Chris Jones' number is getting ready to be astronomical. They pay him almost like that.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, look, this season his cap hit is $23 million. Next year, $44.8 million. It's not a number you can just move on from. In 2027, if you did, it's $19.5 million. So he's not going anywhere. And the frustrating thing is, I think the days of him just taking over a game are gone. Does it mean that he's not going to have a sack the rest of the year or come up with a big play at some point? No, he's not, you know, washed in how people view it.
He's not a net.
When someone says washed, I assume like the player literally can't do anything ever again. Like, it's just completely done. I think Chris Jones, if you want to say your definition of washed is he's not dominant anymore, then fine. I just view that word differently than maybe others. I don't know how you categorize it. He is not the dominant takeover a game player that he once was. It's sad, but that is reality right now for him.
Unless something's going to change dramatically or this bye week's going to send some energy boost through the rest of his system.
They're also asking him, and you can say how he's making the amount of money he should this. He's clearly worn down at the end of games. Worn down because he's asked to do so much because of the other deficiencies. This goes back to a draft issue. I mean, it goes back to the Felix and Udike Uzama conversation where
when you whiff on
a couple picks on your defensive line, you're relying on some veterans and Charles Omenihu and others to step up, and you just don't really have it there.
And so, like, I guess some of this would be expected. Like you pointed out, he would actually be more to cut than to keep next year. So Chris Jones is
not going anywhere.
He's not going anywhere. The following year, people make cuts like that all the time where you save $20 million in the cap or whatever if they want to make that decision. We'll talk about that in 2027.
Yeah.
There is a part of this season that's been underlying for a huge chunk that I feel like we're not ignoring, but maybe we just haven't phrased enough. And it goes back to what you're saying about Chris Jones being worn down at the end of the game. We have probably undervalued the just sheer volume of games this team has played and the times in which they look tired. That they don't look like they have the same energy as the team aside of them, Gold. And when you're playing 20-game seasons, 5 years in a row, there is an amount of games that absolutely just leans on a dude like Travis Kelce or a dude like Chris Jones or anybody else who we might consider in there. And there might be a factor of, this is a tired team, and they look tired against their opponents, where these games are finally catching up to them. Because we used to say, ooh, the game's going to finally catch up to them, and it never did. And so we had kind of set it aside, Gold, for a little bit and ignored it for a little bit because it seemed like that they were either immune or invincible from it. And based on the way this season has started, there are moments in which they just look tired as a team, or like the other team's effort is significantly better. Like yesterday, they just got their ass kicked, right? They exploited every single deficiency the Chiefs have. Look, if I wanted to be glass half full, I would at least still tell you they lose this damn game every year. They've gotten their ass kicked by the Bills in the regular season before, and the Bills are still going to have to beat Kansas City in a postseason for any of this to matter. Otherwise, it'll be the weirdest rivalry of all time where one team is 5-1, one quarterback's 5-1 against the other quarterback, and the other one's 5-0 in the playoffs against them, and it just makes no sense. And so it's going one of two ways, but they do. The times look. Chris Jones is like the key example of that man looks like playing 20 games a year has gotten to him. Like he's tired.
Well, he was the most vocal about the bye weeks last year. He was the most vocal about going to the NFL office and the NFLPA around last year when the scheduling was kind of quirky and the bye week member was super early. And when you are getting to the age that Chris Jones is getting to, where he's sitting at 31 years old and has been in this league for 9+ years, there's a chance that's part of it. I don't want to eliminate the full picture. Sure, he is being double teamed. There is no secret about that, and that is making his life very difficult. And if you don't have other players that are winning, then it results in what you're seeing on the defensive line. The prior weeks, taking on Washington, taking on the Raiders, taking on even Jared Goff and the Lions, you know, your offense was in a position where you weren't asking your defense to go and consistently make stop after stop after stop. Well, when the competition is up against Buffalo, who clearly is still one of the top contenders in the AFC, you are going to need your best players on the field a bit more, and I think they're extremely worn out.
And that's you're going to have to play better against those best teams. They played their worst games against
their
better opponents.
On the flip side, I think that's why the Bills' defense was so much better yesterday, not just the issues that the Chiefs themselves created. But, Cody, they got a couple players back from injury/suspension. As much as they were missing, you know, Ed Oliver and missing some cornerbacks, and maybe we underestimated this, they got Michael Hoyt back and some others that they were able to rotate their defensive line. They weren't asking Joey Bosa.
Oh, we just lost another guy.
I know, yeah. They weren't asking, and Hoyt got hurt, I think. They weren't asking Joey Bosa, who was awesome yesterday, to play as many snaps as they were asking him to play the 3 weeks prior to that. And so you have a true rotation to a certain extent on your defensive line. The Chiefs just don't have those bodies. We kind of knew about it. It just got exposed in a massive way yesterday against the Buffalo Bills.
Like the text line saying, don't worry, the league wants 18 games now, so a crappy product. Yeah. Look, I'm not, that definitely will have a larger impact on just the whole thing and the way that the league is going. But yeah, I'm not trying to say, I still think, Golden, we can talk about so they have a chance to win the Super Bowl. I still think that they can improve in a lot of these areas. And I don't think that this is an unusual game to lose, especially when you play bad football, which they certainly did in this game. There were very, and we'll talk maybe later in the noon, one of the two or three encouraging things that maybe came out of this game, because there certainly were negatives. And sometimes this is it goes to the front office part of it too. I think we'll talk in the, some of the offseason signings and the other people available and the stuff that could have certainly improved the position you're in. The Bills were the better team. I underestimated their ability to dominate on the offensive defensive line. Easily the most frustrating part for me, though, was their inability to get the offense going, because that Bills defense was not playing good defense going into that game. They were struggling. Look, the Bills moving the ball? Yeah, okay. I could see that one coming. The Bills defense was not playing good football going into that game, and the Chiefs offense was humming. And then they came to a screeching halt in that game where their effectiveness largely, I think, starting with the offensive line and their issues there. And look, Andy Reid's not going to talk today. It's a bye week. You will not hear from the Kansas City Chiefs front office or players until next Monday is the next time they will speak. So I can't tell you if Juwan Taylor's ankle's okay. Maybe Nate Taylor can tell us tomorrow, whatever. I can't tell you if Simmons is expected to be back. I think someone found that he reactivated his Instagram page. If that means anything,
yeah, he did.
I can't tell you if Simmons is going to be back. I can't tell you if Juwan Taylor's ankle is just a minor one and he'll be fine for 2 weeks from now. But it's they'll have 2 weeks. I will say, I do think the bye week is coming at a very good time, in the sense that I think this is a really good evaluation time. Right at the trade deadline, right as you're playing your worst football game of the season, let's figure out kind of where you are. I don't think that that's the worst thing in the world.
It's one of the rare times where you're happy about the bye. Now, it's funny how we do this, though, because admittedly, let's be honest, if the Chiefs would have dominated the Bills, people would say, oh, I don't want the bye. They're rolling right now. So it's funny how...
This is coming at a good time now.
I agree. I'm with you. But we do this, I think, as sports fans all the time.
Yeah.
You know, how quickly things shift. A week ago today, and they still are actually Super Bowl favorites, but a week ago today, it's oh my gosh, this offense is unstoppable. They're the best team in football. Nobody can get them. Look out, rest of the NFL. Spags has done it again. And look, I've said some of these things too. So have you. And then now it's the world is ending. So it's funny how quickly.
I still think they can win the Super Bowl and all the things. It's just not the way they played yesterday.
Yeah, it was a wake-up call. We'll find out, was it a wake-up call for the team as well? Was it a wake-up call for the front office, perhaps, to see if they can make a move before the deadline? But I will caution the trade deadline conversation. One, it usually is more hype than actual result. And usually when you make a trade at the deadline, that player you trade at, trade for, does not have, and I'm not just talking the Chiefs example last year, DeAndre Hopkins. I'm talking about like across the NFL, even Jalen Phillips, who I wanted the Chiefs to trade for. I'm not so sure he has as big of an impact as we all think he's going to have. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, look,
like I want them to go make a move, but I don't think necessarily the move that they make is just going to solve all. Now it helps. And that's all you're asking. You're trying to get incremental improvement for a defense on the defensive front that is really struggling.
These, for the most part, the guys on the team are the people who are going to have to fix it. There's just no doubt about that. I'm just hoping a trade deadline could maybe offer a little bit more in that regard.
All right, coming up next, let's talk about how the end of the first half went. You and I differ on this. We'll discuss that and something that the NFL clearly has to fix, which is a loophole. We'll explain what it is next.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan, $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, we're just getting started here on a Monday. 913-586-7965, Jay Southland, Sow Service text line. We'll take your calls coming up in the Chiefs Red Half Hour, 1 hour from now. Anytime there's a, as I said, kind of a big shift in perhaps how people are feeling about a season, that's when we like to open up the phone line. So we'll get to that 1 hour from now. Of course, Sports Talk on 96.5 The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but these days, you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started. I saw a bunch of texts on this. You and I were going back and forth on our group chat in the rundown yesterday.
Yeah.
And it was the sequence right before halftime. So obviously, you guys know what we're talking about. Chiefs get a massive completion.
Three plays. They're down to the 1 yard line.
Hollywood Brown. Down right at the one. Thought it was a touchdown at first, and then he was clearly down at the one. First and goal. The Chiefs go shotgun formation. Hunt to the left of Mahomes. They get stuffed, and then it falls apart on second and third down. Mahomes, I think, misses a wide open Travis Kelce on second down, if I have my right order of plays.
Yeah, he was like sliding to the right, and Kelce flashed wide open in the middle.
At that point, it's a two-possession game. Of course, you want to get seven. They settle for a chip shot, 19-yard field goal. You hated the decision.
Yes.
Explain it, and then I obviously I have a different point of view on it.
So first, one of the underrated parts of the Chiefs having a bad game was I thought Andy had an awful game. Awful. I thought the game plan was bad. I thought the play calling was bad, and I thought he made two what I thought were insane decisions. One was the 4th and 17 he got. So I'm not even trying to revisionist history it. I'm like, what are you doing? There's 14 minutes left in this game. You're down two scores. Every team in the NFL punts in this scenario going for 4th and 17 here is crazy. And he got it to, you know, like they had a great game, a great play call for whatever the hell it's worth. So we can talk about that call in a minute. It's idiotic. It was like, you know what it was? It was my biggest problem was it was like Andy, who had been hyper aggressive, finally figured it all out in the weirdest moment, turtled into a scared little boy and just decided he wouldn't go for it from the 1 yard line. If you are on the one in a game in which a team is easily handling you, in which you are down two scores and you're sitting at the 1 yard line and you're on the road and a team is beating your ass, that is the time to put it in. You're supposed to be one of the better offenses in the NFL. Get a yard. And I know you failed three times in a row. I happen to think that the Chiefs are very unlikely to fail four times in a row from the 1 yard line. And that is a moment in which Andy has been more aggressive in different spots of football games. I was stunned he decided to kick the field goal. I thought it was a really, really egregiously bad decision.
Yeah. So also the fact that he went for the 2-point conversion, the possession early was a great, you know, was a great sign too late. Like that was something in the past.
There was some other aggressiveness.
In the past, he would have just kicked the extra point.
Oh yeah.
So look, we differ on this. I'm not saying that there isn't some logic to what you're saying. Of course there is. Like there's an argument, no doubt, that they should have gone 4-on-4. I might act like there's zero, Of course there's an argument. I didn't have as big of an issue with it for a couple reasons. Number one, my issue with it was more play calling / execution prior. Like, obviously,
there was a play calling part a problem.
Obviously, I wanted 7 before halftime. Duh. I think part of it is, and you tweeted it before it happened, I'll give you credit, but a lot of people were upset because the result ended up being not what we wanted, which was 7. Like, does that make sense versus
the
3?
I tweeted both about the 4th and 17 and that one.
Because a couple things, like You look at the first down play call. I'm not going to even bring up the QB sneak because we've done this for 5 years now.
I would like that.
They're not going to do that. Yeah, sure. Otherwise, no kidding, just do a damn QB sneak and let's move on with our lives and they probably get a touchdown. The other thing is, though, they have, over the last month, been running the ball better when they go under center. So why, at the 1 yard line, first and goal, 23 seconds to go, with a timeout in your pocket, you don't go under center. You run a draw play, essentially, with Kareem Hunt. I don't know. Maybe it was not a draw play officially. But
an under center run. Or under shotgun.
So you get stuffed. You're on the 1 foot line. And then on the next play, after that fails, I thought Mahomes missed a wide open target in the back of the end zone. So then you're set up on the third down. So my issue is more the execution. Once you failed on first, second, and third down, I didn't have as big
of an issue. That's when you're like,
I didn't have a big of an issue because momentum was all on the Bills' side of things. You're going into halftime. Yes, you get the ball to start the second half, but it's a 2-possession game. You get the field goal. It does make it a 1-possession game. You get the opening drive with a chance to tie the game by the time you get to the 10-minute mark of the third quarter. Of course, that did not happen. They go 3 and out right away out of the half. So I didn't have as big of a problem, and I know you weren't bringing this up. I saw a lot at the end of the game. People were saying, well, see, they would only be down 3 if they got a touchdown. That is completely ignoring also the potential result of that they get 0 points, as in they fail on the fourth down. I know you're not saying this, but we can also not act like going for fourth down that it was a sure thing. People are acting as if the only other option was they get 7. No, the other option is that they get 0 before halftime. No momentum, and I know in hindsight they lost the game, so nobody cares about that, but at the time, you had no momentum, and Buffalo would not have kicked that ridiculous long field goal try that they tried at the end. They would have probably punted it, pinned the Chiefs back with, you know, 20 seconds to go down, you know, down 3, yes. So
there's too big of a butterfly effect to know if it would have mattered at the end. I agree with you there.
That's all I'm saying.
That's too far to stretch it. It's just, in a season in which Andy Reid has been his most aggressive, this is the easy one. If you're an aggressive coach who goes for it on fourth down, who this season, I know in the first 3 plays they weren't, but this season has been one of the best short yardage teams in the NFL, that's a go. Like, that's a go for me 100% of the time. It's worth the risk 100% of the time.
Yeah, but they were not willing to go under. See, part of this is where we get into the analytics stuff that I get frustrated with at times, because I know the probability says, like, they would have increased it by 5% by going for it instead of kicking the field goal. I understand what the math says there, and you and I are certainly not anti-analytics by any means. However, this is where I get frustrated with it, because it is also there's no analytics can tell me this reality, which is what we just said happened on first down. Not that they didn't work, that Andy Reid and Matt Nagy went out of shotgun on the run. What you're saying is, hey, they should be able to run the ball. Yeah, the analytics cannot factor for the fact that clearly they were not willing to go under center in that spot,
or QB sneak, or
that's
a million
my only thing. Like, that, sure. The numbers do not factor in that the Chiefs, unlike 31 other teams in the league, are willing to do tush-push, some variation, or go under center with their quarterback in a QB sneak. The analytics are not factoring that unless someone has some different numbers to show me. That factors in the trickle-down effect in the repercussions. The analytics do not factor in what the potential play call might be.
This is why I had a huge issue with Andy Reid's day. And look, everybody can have a bad day at their job. Patrick Mahomes had a bad day at his job.
Yeah.
Chris Jones had a bad day at his job. Lots of people did. Andy Reid's decision making in this game, the only way I can describe it is chaotic and without flow. He, like, because to not go for it there, the fourth and, but then go for it on the fourth and 17, but then not, but like he'll run designed runs with Mahomes, but not do QB sneaks. Like in this game in particular, his methodology was like, hey man, are you just like throwing stuff at a wall and seeing what sticks?
Yeah, I don't think there was a designed run today though. He has in the past, but like yesterday there was not a designed run.
So like, is there some logic in what you're going with here? You know, you ran it under center more, but you're on the 1 yard line. You know, and by the way, later on in that game, they had to go for it on a fourth down. And you know what they did? They ran it under center and got a touchdown.
Makes no sense.
So like, Andy had like an insanely chaotic day. And that was just like the first one of like, what are you doing? You know, you have to go for it. Like in my mind, you know, you have to go for it here. And some of it is like gold. If the game was going differently, I wouldn't even think it's crazy, like what your argument's like, hey, the game, and like, let's just get the points and we're getting the ball back. But it felt like the entire time that game was like at a razor's edge of slipping away. And to your point, maybe you're saying is if you go for it and don't get it, then it has slipped away. But like in my mind, it's like it was your chance to not just like try to keep them from keeping control and instead taking it away. All they were doing in my mind in the aggressiveness thing by kicking the field goal was making sure they didn't let the Bills get even more in control. Not take control back. Not like regain control.
We disagree on the logic. At the time, making a one possession game, I get the ball to start the second half. You hope you're not going three and out.
They played a lot better offensively in the second half of these recent games. Like Washington, they got it together certainly, in New York and some others where they've come out and fired a little bit better. And I didn't think they felt way off in the first half.
Where I agree with you though is. You know, at times yesterday, the play calling did not make a whole lot of sense. And it's not just because it did not work, right? This is not like, oh, of course, I like all the plays that work. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, truly, what their refusal in that certain situation at the one to not go under, I keep saying it, makes no sense. And we've been dreaming of the day where they just put in Gardner Minshew for a QB sneak. I don't know why. I truly do not know why they won't even be willing to do that. Well, the defense will know something's up. It still will work. At a 90-something percent clip, as a matter of fact, because the numbers say that it does.
I guess that's where, like, I'm surprised that you were against or fine with the kick. Is the only thing is kind of what you're mentioning is this is like, you know, like some of our stuff is out here because we live tweet thoughts during
for
all
sure.
this stuff.
Yeah.
After they had gone for the fourth down on the plus side of the football field on the 4th and 3 to try to get the first down, didn't get it. On the show, we've definitely said that, and I said it there, which was
yeah.
I'm fine with them going for this because I want them to go for it again the next time. And then the next time came up and Andy was like, nah, pass. Yeah. You're like, come on, man. You had it. I said I'm cool with it because it all comes down to like fourth down. And this is like one thing. The gold, you're right that it does include the under center run. But there is one universally, statistically true thing about being one of the more aggressive ones, which is it works to be aggressive because you have to do it way more. Because the payoff is when if you don't get the 4th and 3, but you do later, it is at worst a net nothing, right? It doesn't hurt you. But if you don't go for 4th and 3, you go for it on 4th and 3, don't get it, and then later don't go for it, it is a negative that you didn't get that 4th down later. It's like negating the previous decision is the problem.
All right, one of the other controversial moments, and this by no means is do I think this is why the Chiefs lost, but it is
I hate
still,
that we have to say that first, but you do.
But you do because everybody freaks out otherwise. The NFL has to close a loophole that I didn't know existed. We're talking about the intentional grounding play where Mahomes has the pass tipped. And much like we see with pass interference, Andy Reid thought too, because he was about to throw the challenge flag and actually did. And they were told they can't review it. the ball's tipped, like on a pass interference call, there's no pass interference if the ball is tipped. We all know this, right? We've all watched football enough. So on intentional grounding, you would think, well, the ball's tipped, it can't be intentional grounding, which is true. If it's tipped, it's not intentional grounding. I would also think that you can quickly do the old expedited review upstairs, right? Why the hell would you not?
Sure.
Turns out you can't.
Unbelievable.
So one, the officials on the field got it wrong to begin with because nobody else saw it was tipped. So that's just an error. And then two, the league does not allow you to expedite that. So that's a loophole that just has to be, like, I'm sure it will be now. Like, that has to be cleaned up in the offseason. It's unfortunate that it hurt the Chiefs there. But, I mean, could you imagine the outrage? We're talking about it today, but like, can you imagine the outrage if the...
Oh, yeah.
How is that? This is where the replay makes no sense in the NFL. I do not want every single play to be reviewable and every single call to be reviewable and every single penalty. But we're not talking about reviewing the penalty. It's the same thing as pass interference. If the ball is tipped, they do a quick expedited review and the flag goes away. They're not waving off the penalty as much as they are saying the ball is tipped. And that should have happened here with the intentional grounding.
This just goes back to like a broader point, and then we can talk about this individual play. I hate replay. I wish it didn't exist. I wish they never brought it in. Like, I don't feel like they add layers and layers and layers, and then they still just can't change calls to be correct. There's no point. Calls are going to get missed all the time. So just get rid of replay, get it out of my face, and I don't care. And just let refs make human error in decisions in there. Because what's funny about that is they didn't call it in the moment, have a little powwow, then decide to throw the flag, which happens all the time in those cases. I'm not saying that looks weird.
Sure.
Decide to call a powwow, throw the flag. Then Andy's like, whoa, 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 ball was tipped, and they can't do anything about it? And I'm not saying the refs technically didn't get the unreviewable part wrong, but they did get the...
They missed the initial call.
They missed the initial call. And look, we've had our own issues with Sheffers, and I've told you before, I in no way... The way the Chiefs played yesterday, if you think I think that one play was the reason they lost a football game, hell no. But it's also just...
So I'm bringing it up because it's a loophole that the NFL, for any other team, by the way, whether you're a Bills fan, whether you're a Broncos fan, that's something that you should want cleaned up in the NFL. The fact that they can expedite review a tip pass for a PI call, then they should be able to do it for intentional grounding. That's it.
It just feels
Someone
like a miss.
You guys are sounding like a Bills fan. The difference is we're not saying that's why the Chiefs lost the game. That'd be the difference.
No, we want refereeing to be better. And if they're going, my whole thing is, if you were going to implement these thousands of layers of replay, and now include gold, right? We've seen first down markers get changed. We've seen digital measurements in the last couple of plays. We've seen them make Terry McLaurin catches with replay assist. And it's fine. That was a catch by Terry McLaurin. If replay assist is there to help and call things a catch, great. All we're saying is that I want it to actually do something in moments in which a call is wrong, or I want it to go away altogether. I don't care which it is. Either make it so that it fixes bad calls more often than it feels like it does, or it just goes away and I don't have to think about it anymore, and it's just up to the man on the football field making a decision. I also think that admittedly, some of this is because we are tired in Kansas City of having to see every single national media member make a massive mountain out of any single minor call that might hypothetically look like it benefits the Chiefs. And it was crickets on the tipped pass. And so like that part is just like, well, that's just annoying from a personal standpoint. Not that I think it changed the game or that refereeing is rigged against the Chiefs. I don't think any of that stuff. It's just like, would you like to make a big deal about refereeing at this moment when it's all so bad?
Yeah, it's just, and like you said, this is more just, it's more of the complaining side of it. It's every, aggregator, social media account, if it was the same thing would have happened to the Bills, would have tweeted out and said, oh my God, this is suspicious. This is really weird how the NFL did this in favor of Kansas City. Every lazy national media member would have made a big, that, as you said, I think is more of a Kansas City, solely an issue with, for Chiefs fans to be frustrated with. I'm just saying that rule yesterday, that there's a clear loophole, has to be closed in the offseason. That's all.
Yeah, that it was just like, it was such an annoying play.
Coming up in 15 minutes, we're going to talk about the 5-4 start going into the bye week and just how worried are you guys about the division, about the playoffs, about other aspects of this team. The odds will tell you the Chiefs are still favorites to win the Super Bowl, but are you buying that? We'll get to that in 15 minutes or so. Briefly, I do want to touch on what ended up being an all-time game on Saturday, and that, of course, was Game 7 of the World Series in Toronto. We all know the Dodgers go back-to-back as World Series champs for the first time since the Yankees did it, and obviously going back on the NL side to the Big Red Machine there in Cincinnati. The Yankees did win three in a row, so the Dodgers still have that to chase from a historical standpoint. Yeah. But that was truly one of the best baseball games I've ever seen in my life. And I understand, like, we're partial to the AL wild card game here in Kansas City. That's the best one because it involved the team that I grew up rooting for, and I was at the game.
Hits, not just home runs, so it had a little more juice for me. But
that was the best World Series game I've ever seen in my life, considering what was at stake and the ups and downs, the decision making, the
bases loaded jams and close calls and collisions in the outfield to save games.
It had everything. It had absolutely everything. Pinch hit home runs.
Yep. It was, I mean, look, and you never want to be like prisoner of the total moment. I'm not sure if it's the greatest World Series of my lifetime. I'm sure it's probably one of.
That game was. I don't know if the whole World Series was.
Yeah, because some of the games were blowouts. They just had all-time performances, so we let it go, right? They had an all-time Shohei performance or an all-time Yamamoto performance or the stuff that kind of led to these things that allowed you, or even like Savage, right? Like it was just game after game where somebody was doing something like standalone great. The Game 7 part was incredible. It was high drama. It was watching there. And this goes back to, like, it's weird because a lot of times my initial takeaway from this is, like, please don't take this away, baseball. Please do not ruin yourself by getting in a lockout in a year. Because, like, somebody pointed out, the NBA and Major League Baseball both had Game 7s this year. Both were dramatic. Drury degree, like, dramatic, down to the wire, highly contested, super important games. Baseball drew 10 million more people to watch theirs. So, like, they had – and, look, some of that is because – the market that baseball gets to employ.
You also had entire country.
Yeah, understand.
Two. Yeah, Japan and Canada interested.
But so 25 million to 16 million people tuned in. So 9 million more on that end. It matters. And it's just like, don't lose your momentum. But also, you and I said the same thing. I tried not to let it ruin the moment that it's just two teams spending three of the four most money in baseball between every other top 10 payroll team. Like, I tried not to make the game about that. Because the game itself was interesting. So I was just appreciating the game after we can try to fix baseball. But from a baseball standpoint, it was excellent. It was baseball and high drama. Big time plays, big time hits, home runs that mattered. Yamamoto pitching three innings after going 90 pitches the night before
insane.
In an absolute gym.
Absolutely insane. None of us have seen that in our lifetime. That part, none of us have seen that.
No.
That was insane. That's why he ended up being MVP. Look, we all thought Ohtani would get it. Since we had the show on Friday and mentioned Ohtani winning MVP, Yamamoto goes 96 pitches, and then the next night he pitches again. Well, that ended the conversation at that moment. Once he was able to do that, it was sensational. A ton of fun watching that on Saturday night. And yeah, the Dodgers go back to back. They're going for a three-peat.
Ugh. I mean, fine. Like you said before, win it so we can ruin the sport. Little update out of the NFL. Okay. Adam Schefter confirming, not that anybody didn't expect it. Test confirmed that Packers tight end Tucker Kraft did, in fact, tear his ACL. Will be out for the remainder of the season for the Packers.
A huge loss for Green Bay. Huge loss for them. Player. They're obviously coming off a bad loss yesterday to Carolina. But yeah, one of their best players on the team. Certainly their best offensive weapon that they have outside of Josh Jacobs, I would say.
More serious injuries.
A bunch of them. Jaden Daniels last night, Sunday Night Football. Now, we're going to talk about it here in a little bit. Never should have been in the game still that late in the game, but he dislocated his elbow. He's done for the year. Marshawn Lattimore tore his ACL. He's done for the year. So the Commanders just got absolutely destroyed on the field and the scoreboard, but also when it comes to the medicals as well. Just a mess. Mess of a day yesterday for Washington in particular. Their season's over.
Stock down later in the show. Packers could have easily been on that list. Tough loss to Carolina. Just lost their star tight end. And for whatever reason, Micah Parsons had his first ever game with zero pressures against the Carolina Panthers offensive line, which feels like just weird timing.
Looking at that film to see did Carolina do anything in particular. That's for sure.
Would they triple team him?
Who knows? Something worked.
Yeah.
Bryce Young's stat line, guys, was not like here's a,
no,
a win's
he
a win.
Still stinks.
A win's a win, and he let him down into field position to kick the game winning field goal. But Bryce Young yesterday, it's not like he was amazing, and that's how they upset the Green Bay Packers. It was an ugly football game. His final stat line was 18-35 for a 154 and two interceptions and a touchdown.
I can't believe the Chiefs have the same record as the Panthers.
Well, it's reality. It is what it is.
I genuinely
been that way the last.
I know. Yeah.
Since there's a Twitter account that tweets the same thing out there where Tiger is the Chiefs and John Daly is the Panthers, and they're both staring at each other. That tweet is populated multiple times this year.
It stands. I mean, it's not unreasonable. Look, the NFC West is the best division in football, right? Even if we just forget that the Cardinals exist for a minute. The Seahawks, Rams, and 49ers are just like a murderer's row of teams. I guess everybody in the NFC North is competitive, but I still think the better teams are in the NFC West. We can talk more about the rest of the NFL, obviously, later in the show and later in the week. Them having the same record as the Panthers is like, yeah, something's wrong there and you should do something.
They have the same record as the Jags, too. I mean, it is it's just reality. We're going to talk about the reality of where the standings are. A 5-4 team. How worried are you about the division, making the playoffs? Plus what Patrick Mahomes had to say about the schedule that's coming up. That's next here on Cody and Gold.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.